Wanted to welcome you to the LeaderQuest podcast. This is episode 6, believe it or not. And today, this week, we are talking about how to process failure, right? How is it that we actually learn from failure? And so if you've been following along, about a month now, we've changed the trajectory of how we handle things online here on social media. We pick a topic for a week so that we actually have time to engage in it, to learn, to process, to ask questions, to listen to those of us as a part of this Next Steps community. And so today, Saturday with the podcast, always kind of kicks that off. And so Saturday, we do the live stream here on Facebook. So if you're watching this live on Facebook, welcome. After that, it goes up on the YouTube channel. I have a playlist dedicated to the LeaderQuest podcast there. This gets reformatted into an audio version only, and that gets that'll get released later next week. So Saturday, we kind of start our weekly theme here. Monday is a blog post. Tuesday is usually on Instagram. Wednesday is YouTube. Thursday is the audio version of the podcast, both on my website and on iTunes. And then Friday, we kind of post a weekly recap of everything that is that we've talked about. And so we take an entire week to dissect a topic so we can actually dive in and spend some time learning. And in a world that social media has kind of trained us to not pay attention, I am doing my best, at least, to try and fight this trend and make sure that people pay attention and have time to engage and to learn and to question and discuss. So it is Saturday, August 24th, 2019, episode 6 of the LeaderQuest podcast, where we are talking about setting the stage for how we learn from failure. And one of the ideas for me that crystallized this, as a parent, right, we've got 4 kids. Have seen them grow up, and they're just an absolute joy and delight to parent. And one of the things that kids have to do as they grow, right? We'll keep this super simple, but they really have to come out learning just about everything about life, right? They because of brain function know how to breathe, and for better or worse, there's room for improvement, but they have, this feeding motion down, whether you're the mother's going to feed them naturally or use a bottle or whatever, like they have this sort of natural feeding tendency. And that's pretty much it, right? They have to learn to hold their own head up. They have to learn to roll over. They have to learn to sit up. They have to learn to walk. If your kids are anything like mine, they probably try to skip a couple of those steps and go straight to running, especially when you have multiple kids and they see what older siblings are doing. It's like we try to go from sitting up and crawling to running in quick succession. But I think that whole idea and metaphor of what it looks like as a child to grow, to develop, to get older, works really well as a metaphor for what it looks like from failure, right? So imagine if you're a parent, right? Think back to your kids crawling around the house. Maybe you have kids that are learning to walk now. And if you put your kid on the ground, and they're 6 months old, 8 months old, right? They can hold up their head. They can maybe sit up. Starting to figure out the crawling thing. If you put them on the couch, get their legs under them. All right, let's say that they can stand and they can steady themselves. Great, wonderful. Now, you take 3 steps back, have them face you, and they try to walk, and of course, boom, they're just going to face plant, right? In that moment, you're not going to say, well, you tried to walk and failed. Clearly, walking isn't for you. I guess I'm going to hold you the rest of your life, right? And then you've got this 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 16, 18-year-old going off to high school, going off to college, individual that has never actually walked because you determined that they tried it once and failed, and walking must not be their thing. So you've just committed that From here on out, you will carry them because you don't want them to experience failure. Pretty ridiculous statement, right? And I think in lots of ways, we could actually look at somebody like that and say, well, that's a pretty bad parent, right? I had a conversation with somebody today, and I said, look, I never said I was a good dad. I just said I was a dad. But if I made that standard for my kid, like, well, you tried to walk once and you failed. You must suck at walking. I'm never going to let you do it again because, well, it's really because I love you and I don't want you to fail. We'd actually kind of, we'd look down at that parent, right? We'd wonder what the heck is wrong with them. Like, why can't you let your kid try to struggle and figure this out? That for kids, we understand that failure is a natural part of the growth process. In fact, rather interesting. I was listening to a book a couple of weeks ago as I was driving around, and he was mentioning that studies are actually starting to show that up to about age 5, kids don't know any better. Kids don't know any other learning mechanism than failure. But up to about age 5, it is naturally hardwired into a kid. I'm going to do something. I'm going to fail. And I'm going to learn from it. I'm going to figure out what I did wrong. I'm going to try again. And all of a sudden, about age 5, they start to learn body language, right? They're learning communication. They can piece together different facial expressions. And then after about age 5, a kid can tell when a parent, when a teacher, when an adult of influence has this disappointed look in their face, right? They can, oh yeah, you're still not coloring in the lines, but good job for trying. Prior to age 5, kids don't know any other way to learn than by trying and failing. After age 5, they get this guilt and shame mechanism to kick in because adults kind of pass on like, well, you tried to stay in the lines, but you didn't do a very good job. So yeah, maybe you're not an artist after all. We do a huge disservice to our kids when we teach them that there is something shameful about failure. I was having a conversation with my kid, right? I have to eat my own words in this story. This is a conversation with our, well, he's now 7. He had a birthday last week, but he was 6 at the time. This is a couple of weeks ago, just before his 7th birthday. We're having a conversation. He was nervous about school starting. So I pulled him aside. I said, why are you nervous about school? Like, you love school. You get to see your friends. You've always enjoyed your teachers, right? You've up to this point in your life, enjoyed school. What's going on? He kind of fidgets and he looks around and he says, well, I'm nervous. And I said, okay, that's understandable. I remember being nervous, but what specifically are you nervous about? I said, I'm nervous. What if the teacher hands me a test and I mess up? What do you mean? Well, like, what if she gives me a math test and I either like accidentally rip the page and it looks messy, or what if I get an answer wrong and I fail the test? A 6-year-old, now 7, second grader, at that young age, already identifies with this idea of shame is somehow associated with failure. So in that moment, I pulled him aside. I said, look, here's the deal. I will never fault you for trying something hard, trying something beyond your current skill set. I will never fault you for trying and failing. But I will. I'll have a lot more issue if you just refuse to try this. So I need you to try. And if you fail a math test, you know what? You're going to have another one and you're going to have another chance to pass. And you can work on how to pass the next one. Well, he seemed to feel better. And he and I were making dinner together that night, and I said, Jackson, I need you to run to the fridge and go get me a couple of eggs. We need a couple more eggs. And so he runs into the garage where our refrigerator is. He grabs me the carton of eggs, and he brings it to me, and we go on and we make dinner, and we have a great time. And it was just he and I home that night, and we get ready for bed. and we're watching some TV on the couch before we go to bed. I'm like, Jackson, do you hear that beeping? And we mute the TV, and yeah, sure enough, there's a beeping. But it's like every couple of minutes, we can't figure it out, and we never quite beeps long enough for us to be able to track it down. We'd get up and we'd, okay, it's over here somewhere. We'd make it to the kitchen. No, it wasn't the kitchen. We'd go about on our work because it would stop. And okay, it's closer to the dining room. And we eventually tried to trace this beep, and we could never find it. And girls got home, and we're all getting ready for bed now at this point in time. And I just so happened to go into the garage to feed the cat before I go off to bed. And the fridge door is open. And the beeping was the alarm that the door was open. Been open for several hours by that point in time. He had tried, right? He wanted to help make dinner. He got me eggs, and he had failed to close the fridge door properly, and the food was starting to spoil. Now, in that moment, since we had just had the conversation about failure, and I will never be mad at you for failure, in that moment, I'm like, I can't get mad at the kid, right? He tried. He was really trying to be of genuine help, to be of genuine service, to speed up dinner for everybody. He and I were together that night, just having a special night between the two of us. And he tried, through no fault of his own, he tried to shut the door, and it just didn't latch, and then it slowly fell back open. So I had to go. He was not quite asleep, man. And I walk into his room. I said, hey, I figured out the beeping. He goes, what is it? I said, it was the fridge door. You didn't close it. And you could kind of see this look in his eyes, like, oh, crap. I just messed up. I was like, but remember, I told you, I'm not mad, right? You tried and you failed. What I need you to do next time is to follow up with the job and make sure that the door is closed. So I'm not mad now, but now we know what the problem is, right? You kind of like flung it as you walked away, and you're not quite strong enough for that. So turn around and grab the handle and physically push the door shut to make sure that it stays shut. And that's all. Okay, are we good? Okay, yeah, we're good. Failure happens. Failure is an inevitable part of life. As I mentioned, he had his birthday this last week, and we got him a Lego set, and it was a Spider-Man, I think, and it had a Spider-Man statue in it and a Venom statue in it, and he just like breezed through the Spider-Man statue. He starts on the Venom one, and it's getting late, and it's getting close to bedtime, and school has started, and his schedule's changing, and you know, clearly tired from the first week back at school, and all of a sudden he just like starts like growling and then screaming and then just like open out wailing, right? Not like, ah, but I mean like we just sacrificed his dog sorts of tears. I was like, Jackson, what is the matter? He's like, I messed up on one piece. And he was like losing it. Just all out temper tantrum. Okay, you're done building Legos for tonight. I need you to go get your chamois on. It's bedtime. You're going to go to bed. And fought him the whole way getting his chamois on. Fought him to get his teeth brushed. Fought him every step of the way to get to bed. And when he's finally in bed and I can get him calmed down and he's had, right, like by this point, like 30 minutes of separation from this Lego piece. I said, what happened? I put a piece on and I think I put it right to the left one spot farther than it was supposed to go. And so now the gun portion on his mask isn't working right. Okay. I understand that that's frustrating. But like open air wailing and kicking your heels and stomping around and throwing stuff, not an appropriate way to respond to the setback. Instead, here's what we're going to do. You need to go to bed because it's bedtime. Tomorrow when you wake up, once you just start taking off one piece at a time, we're going to retrace our steps, see where you got off. We can fix this, and then you can move on. But I fully believe in your capability to finish this set. It's got 5 bags in it. You're already almost done with bag 3, about to start bag 4. This is your first mistake. Figure out how to fix it, and let's learn from this. Goes to bed. He wakes up. tears it apart before school, but doesn't have time to put it back together. Goes to school, comes home, puts it together. I'm at work, and I come home that night, and he goes, "Dad, I finished my Lego set." I said, "What do you mean you finished? You had like two bags left. And that mistake." He goes, Yeah. I did what you said. I took all the pieces off. I forgot what I did. This piece, it was an angled piece, and I put it to the left, and it was supposed to be to the right. So I just turned it upside down, and I put it back in, and then I was able to finish the entire robot." Buddy, that is phenomenal. That is fantastic. I can't believe that you did that. That is so amazing. Failure is going to happen to us at various stages throughout our life. You're learning to walk. You are going to fall down. There's never been a person in the history of the world that has learned to walk without falling. It is natural. You help your parents in the kitchen. You're going to build Lego sets. You want to go to school. You want to start a business. Y'all entrepreneurs out there, I got news for you. Failure is going to happen. Maybe it doesn't mean necessarily the closing of the business, but you're not going to land every single sale. Lisa and I have conversations all the time like, "Well, how was your day?" "Man, I sucked it up today as a parent. I failed our kids hard. Man, since I've had a couple of stories where I look good, I'll give you one where I was not good." Our 2-year-old getting his pajamas on, puts it on and gets it over, and it was just like, it's one of those shirts. It fits, but it's a snug, tight, jammy shirt. It was a long sleeve designed to keep him warm. First of all, I don't know why I'd wear that in August. That's on him. But he comes out and he's frustrated and the shirt doesn't fit right. And he's yanking on his shirt and he's trying to get his sleeves just right. You know, like sometimes you put on like a dress shirt or something, like, "Oh man, the sleeves just aren't fitting right," or it's tight in the shoulders or whatever. And Becca was experiencing that, and rather than like get down on his level and, "Hey buddy, let's lock eyes, let's figure this out." I was tired. I was not having it. I was not ready for a 2-year-old temper tantrum at 9:30 at night over a dadgum shirt. and so I'm just like, "Well, fine." And I just like ripped the shirt off of him and like, "We'll just throw it in the trash and then you don't have to worry about it anymore." So I like chucked it towards the trash can. And then he went from mildly frustrated and annoyed to like throws his head back and smashes himself on the floor and starts kicking and flailing. Elise is doing distance. He's like, "What are you doing?" And Becca, "What's wrong with you?" And she's laying out finger guns to everybody. She gets him calmed down because she's a much better parent than I am, right? I never said I was a good dad, just said I was a dad. So Elise gets back and calmed down. She gets a shirt, turns it, gets it ready, puts it on him very lovingly, stretches it out, fixes the problem, brushes his teeth, puts him into bed. She comes to me and she's like, "He didn't need that. The shirt's not too small. Just need to be stretched out." Okay, you're right. Like, I failed Beckett as a parent. He was already frustrated about the shirt, and I should have handled it better, right? I should have taught him how to handle that frustration. And in my own tiredness, in my own emotional state, in my own level of exhaustion, I didn't. And so the next morning, I had to go apologize to my 2-year-old. "Right, buddy, I'm sorry that I did that last night. That was not an okay thing for me to do. Would you please forgive me?" Right? But failure is a natural part of the human life cycle. And this week, as we turned an eye towards how to overcome failure, first of all, foundationally, realize that failure is going to happen. It would be foolhardy, it would be unwise, just be a blatant lie for you to assume that you can do something without failure. My fellow Enneagram type 3s just like got the shivers, right? We love success. We love being good. We love looking good. We love winning. We don't like failure. But let me tell you, part of my own growth has been how do we practice learning from failure? So first of all, realize it's going to happen. Second of all, think about the lessons that you have learned from failure and realize what you can learn from maybe a current or future situation when failure happens. If we can admit that failure is going to be inevitable, how can we learn from it in the midst of it? Take off the Lego pieces that are right so we can get to the one piece that's wrong and fix it. That a failure is going to happen, you might as well learn something from it. One of my favorite quotes, and I've heard it from a variety of places and lots of books. I'm not even necessarily sure who to attribute it to, but he says there's a huge amount of difference between somebody who has 25 years of experience and somebody who has 1 year of experience 25 times. Oh man, I mean, like, let me say it again. There is difference between having 25 years of experience and having 1 year of experience 25 times. The difference is somebody willing to learn from their mistakes. Are you allowing failure, setbacks, obstacles to make you better, get your message clearer, get you more motivated? Harness the power of discipline and habit. Set that routine. Change the structure of the sales call. Enhance the relationship. Whatever it is, make sure that if failure is going to happen, you're actually taking the time to learn something from it. Like a kid learning to walk. Oh boy, okay, I didn't move my foot fast enough. My big old baby head still making me top heavy. I'm gonna learn to balance, build up my neck muscles. Maybe I need my arms out because I want to be able to touch the wall. Like, whatever it is, set aside time to say, hey, this is the time that I failed. What can I learn from it? Number one, failure is going to happen. Number two, make sure you intentionally set time aside to learn and harness the lessons so that you can get to 25 years of experience, not 1 year, 25 times. And third thing I want us to remember as we talk about failure, as we wrap up this episode of the Leader Quest podcast, number three is actually one that I got way back in 2014 when I did coaches training. It's been something I have used off and on with my clients when I feel like it's appropriate. It is one I don't use on myself very often. If I'm honest, it's because I don't like it. I know that it works, but it makes me so uncomfortable. This is a growth area for me. So I want to share this one because I want you to leave a comment, right? If you are watching this on the live stream or watching the playback, if you're catching this on the YouTube channel, if you're listening to this on like the actual iTunes podcast or on justinhebert.com, this is the struggle point for me. And I want you to leave a comment if this is one that you struggle with as well. But the third point for me that is enormously difficult, failure is going to happen. I think I can accept that. Like, it does make me happy, but I've learned after 34 years, it's going to happen. I don't like it. I want to get through it as quickly as possible, but I at least accepted I can't avoid it, at least not if I want to get better. Number two, I'm willing to learn from mistakes, right? Especially as this success-oriented person, as a success coach. I want you to learn lessons. I think that's probably the one that I do really, really well is as a person naturally bent towards learning, towards understanding, towards gaining knowledge. I love learning. I don't like failing. I can tolerate it because I know I can learn something from it. But this one, point number three, is the hard one for me, and that is how to learn to celebrate failure. Right, it's one thing to say that it's going to happen. All right, not happy about it, but I can live with it. I really like learning from it. Especially my favorite thing is to learn from other people's failures. Right, if I can watch you screw up and I get better because of it, man, that's like the best of both worlds. I don't have to mess up and I get to be smarter. Dude, I'm set. The third one, celebrating failure, is so difficult. When I went through 2014, when I went through my coach's training, their phrase is actually celebrate failure. And as a part of like their coach's training process, they, you know, put us in situations in a controlled environment where they actually knew that we would fail. And so they're like, here's the topic. Here's the method of coaching we want you to use. Two people would randomly pair up and like with, I mean, literally 30 seconds of prep, because they would put a timer on. With 30 seconds of prep, you had to coach somebody in front of the rest of the group on like on this topic, whether they were struggling with it or not, on this topic, using this particular coaching style. So these were the questions you could ask, and these are the questions you couldn't, and right, body cues and all of that stuff. Full well knowing you wouldn't be able to handle it and would, in front of your peers, celebrate. In front of your peers, you would fail. And the goal in that big exercise, I mean, yeah, you got a little bit better at coaching because you got to practice coaching, right? And practice at things makes us better. But when you fail, it actually made you practice failure. So at the end of this, they just let you flounder for like 5 minutes. You are just up there, at least me, sweating bullets. 20 people, right? I'm this introvert. I don't like being in front of people. The mic, the computer gives me this barrier. You're in front of like 20 people coaching somebody you don't know on a topic you're not familiar with, in a methodology and background that you don't understand because you got introduced to it a minute ago, and looking like an absolute fool. And then when you're done, they're like, okay, name a time where you failed. And you'd list it, because there were plenty of examples, right? Well, I got lost in Judas room. I failed that one pretty bad. And then they made you dance, right? It didn't have to be like something formal, but you know, a little boogie, little head bob. Woohoo! And then the rest of the class would get up, and the rest of the class would dance with you. Everybody together celebrating your failure, where you just looked like an absolute idiot in front of everybody else. You know what? All of a sudden I realized, okay, maybe that failure wasn't the end of the world. Like, these people still support me. These people still believe in me. These people still think that I can go on to become a great coach. In fact, in this moment, I don't think anybody thinks that I'm a bad coach. They understand what I was up against. They understand the point of the exercise. They understand what it is that we were trying to accomplish. I just failed, right? Like, my worst fear, I just failed in front of like 20-something people. And they're all laughing and dancing and clapping and cheering me on. And wow, maybe failure isn't the end of the world. I think that's what I want to leave you with today. Failure is not the end of the world. It's not even the end of the line. It's not the end of the story. It might be the end of a chapter, right? I really tried to make this relationship work, and it's failed. It's not the end of your story. It's the end of your chapter, and it's, give it some time, give it some space, and turn the page, start writing a new one. I was working with a gentleman yesterday who's facing that, right? And we all are in many ways. Maybe your health is giving out. I got some back problems. My shoulder's acting up. Mobility is getting hard. I'm getting older. Can't play basketball with my boys anymore. Right? Well, whatever it is. Started this business. It's not going to make it. Tried to mend this relationship. It's not going to happen. Shot for the moon on this promotion. Chose somebody else. Whatever it is. Make it be a period in the sentence of your life. Make it be the end of the chapter. Do not let it become the end of your story. There is victory. There is success. There is a whole chapter, multiple chapters, a life of abundance waiting for you on the other side of failure. It's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the story. So as we prime the pump this week for a discussion on failure. Number one, remember, it's inevitable. You might as well just accept that. Wherever you're at, learn to accept failure as a natural part of human development. Look at a kid learning to walk. Number two, make sure you take time to learn from your failures. Maybe that means getting a coach, right? I'd love to help you if you're processing some deep failures right now. I would love to help you work through that. Talk to a trusted friend. Go get a mentor. Read some books, whatever it looks like. Make sure you are learning from those failures. And number three, I know it's hard. Trust me, I get it. But learn to celebrate failure. Because ultimately it leads to those first two, right? If I can celebrate the fact that I just tried something outside of my wheelhouse, it means I acknowledge that it was going to happen eventually, but now I'm going to set apart time on how to learn from it because I want to be better. I don't necessarily want to seek out failure opportunities, but when they arise, I'm going to take them and I'm going to fireball this one into the ground and I'm going to dance it off. I'm going to turn the page. I'm going to start writing a new chapter, and I'm going to succeed. I just mixed like 29 metaphors in that sentence, but I think you get what I'm trying to say here. So thank you guys for joining me on the Leader Quest podcast, episode 6, learning how to bounce back from failure. It is not the end of your story. If I can help you, I would love to. You can find me on social medias. I am at JS Hebert on Instagram and on Twitter. Next Steps Coaching is on YouTube and on Facebook. At J. Hebert Coaching, you can find my blog and a archive of everything that we have done up to this point at justinhebert.com. I help passionate, ready, motivated, success-minded individuals experience breakthrough wins, and I help teams transform conflict into opportunity. If that is you and you are struggling with failure, I would love to walk alongside you. I'd love to be an ally in your story, in your journey, to help you experience abundant and overwhelming success. But with that, thank you for joining me on episode 6 of the Leader Quest podcast. I am Justin. Have a fantastic day, and we will see you right back real soon. Take care.